Amen. It's good to see all of you. I appreciate all of you, and a heartfelt Merry Christmas to you and your families and your loved ones and your friends. There'll be no other activities this week, at least in the church. So no corporate prayer Thursday night. We're going to enjoy this time. But remember the reason for the season. As you gather and celebrate and are grateful for presents, family and friends, there is one that is the reason that we're here. So enjoy yourselves and be blessed. Well, there may come a day when I preach a traditional Christmas message, but today is not it. You know, if he tells me to, you know I'll do it. But I never assume that. Kathy and I were talking about that yesterday morning, and I said, I got nothing. I have nothing to share. All week it's been quiet. I've been tired. From the cold and the shoveling and all this. But God is always faithful, amen? So turn your Bibles, if you have them, or it'll be on the screen, Philippians chapter 4. This is what I heard the Holy Spirit say. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I urge you, what's that person's name? And I urge that one too, to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Thank you for your precious word, Lord. And it was actually that verse 8 that the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And we'll be getting to that later on in the message. He deserves the highest praise. There's an expression, home is where the heart is. But the Bible says in Luke 12:31, seek for his kingdom and these things shall be added to you, and his righteousness. And it also says in further down in verse 34, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And also Matthew 6:20-21, Jesus speaking, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, he's saying there. And so I ask you today, where is your treasure? Where is your heart today? Are you already thinking about wrapping things and cooking things and doing things? Or are you right here? Are you honoring him? Are you worshiping him today? You know, the Lord always wants our full attention. Have you ever been with someone and you're talking and you could say blah, 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 and they would be going like this. And you know they're not even listening because why? They're somewhere else. And I know we've all experienced that. And when I usually do something to that person when they do that to me, humorously. There but not there. And so I find that I believe you need a reality check from time to time, especially spiritually speaking, to reevaluate, to refocus, to realign, to reset, and to refresh your relationship with Jesus, especially in this busy season. Amen? So much going on, so much activity, and it's all good. But oftentimes we all need a vacation after Christmas, don't we? It's usually the case. The day after, boom, you crash. And you're on the couch like this. The guys are watching college football, and the gals are like, whatever. Or some gals are watching football, too. I know some of those. The title of the message this morning is, It's Still All About Jesus. It's still all about the Lord. You know, Thursday night at prayer, we sang a song by Will Reagan entitled, Set a Fire. And the lyrics, they repeat themselves, but it's a long song, but there's no place I would rather be but here in your love, Lord, here in your love. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't control. You know, when he does that and you're not in control, sometimes that's uncomfortable, isn't it? But that... You know, Andrew has this, you know, we joke about people saying that retire from the ministry. And Andrew says, that just means put on new tires. Or refire. You know, the Lord has to refire us sometimes because we get weary or we get tired or for whatever reason, we lose our zeal for the Lord. But where is your treasure this morning? Where is your heart this morning? Is it with him? Is it where it needs to be and should be? Or are other things taking precedence and demanding of you and you are buckling to those things? Well, this short passage lists a number of things, and I, of course, we'll share five. First being from verse 1. How can we keep him in the center, keep not just professing that it's all about Jesus, but acting like it, behaving like it? In the things we say, in the things we choose to do, and the things we choose not to do, whether at Christmas or any other time in our life. So number one, stand firm in Jesus, it says. And there are a few scriptures that express this. Philippians 1:27, standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And that's a challenge to the body of Christ, not just to us individually, but to the body as a whole. That same word, 1 Corinthians 16, 13 and 14. Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, and let all that you do be done in love. That's a tall order, isn't it? Sometimes I don't feel like loving. I feel anything but loving. But the command is, in the scripture consistently, not just this one scripture, but let all that we do be done in love, because that's what Jesus did. He was not motivated by anything else but by love. Even tough love is still love, but it has to have the right attitude behind it, his heart. Hebrews 6, 18 and 19, but at the end of 18, we may have strong encouragement, we who have fled for refuge in laying hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast. And it's talking about Jesus Christ. It's talking about holding on to that anchor of your soul in the midst of life's struggles and turmoil. You know, I cannot really, I turn on the TV to watch the weather, but often the weather's not on yet, and there's just gloom and doom. I mean, if you watch that for half an hour, you'd be depressed, you know? And so that's what's going on. But we need to stand firm in the Lord. And I didn't finish reading that verse. A hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. Well, what's within the veil? His presence. His awesome presence, his peace. That provision that he's given to every believer. So when you find that you're irritable, cranky, out of sorts, I know you don't, but I do, you got to find that place within the veil, in his presence. Stand firm in that hope you have in Christ. Proverbs 18:24. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Now, some of you may have a close brother, but you don't have a brother like Jesus. And you never will. So we need to not allow people, emotions, or circumstances to move us from our position of love in Christ. We need to stand firm and not allow that. And, you know, sometimes you can get hoodwinked and you don't realize it's happening until all of a sudden you feel yourself sinking and you're being impacted by something that really shouldn't have the power to do that in your life. Stand firm in the Lord. Also for your notes, Galatians 5:1, Ephesians 6:11-14. Secondly, rejoice in Jesus. From verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And so sometimes you can lose the impact of that, but that short verse has an exclamation point at the end. That's a charge Paul is speaking forth to the Philippians, and it's a charge that we need to hear as well. It's a command of sorts to rejoice. You know, you have to choose to rejoice. You can't just work it up. It's not something about feeling happy or rejoicing. It's something that comes from your inner being, connected to Jesus Christ. Rejoice in the Lord always. And Paul said this same thing in Philippians 3:1. He said, rejoice in the Lord. And he said that in chapter 3, before warning to beware of those who have a hidden agenda or would seek to distract or undermine their faith. And that can happen to us also if we don't have keep our wits about us, our spiritual wits, that is. Jesus saying the same thing about rejoicing, Matthew 5:11-12. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. No matter what you are called to go through or experience here on earth, there is a reward for following him. And sometimes it's overwhelming, the things that we have to walk through, but we don't have to do it alone. And so that's what we have to focus on, rejoicing. It's an inner attitude. It's not an outward smile or happy expression. It's something that comes from within. Jesus, it says it elsewhere, that your joy may be full in the New Testament. It says it numerous times, Paul speaking that. And he had his share of hard days, didn't he? I don't think many of you were beaten, shipwrecked, and so forth, like he was, and yet the same man says, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. I think of Paul and Silas in the when they were in jail, and they chose to praise the Lord, and they impacted everybody else around them. And that's what rejoicing does. It's an attitude that impacts the atmosphere. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ. The Passion reads, this is God's perfect plan for you, that you would have an attitude, an inward attitude that gives an outward expression of rejoicing in the Lord always. So we need to never allow anything to steal our joy. Joy is not the absence of conflict or sadness. It's the confidence that this will pass because God is for you. Romans 8:31 is the reference there. And Psalms 30:5. A shout of joy, though mourning will last for the night, a shout of joy will come in the morning. I have a number of scriptures that are not on there, so don't. You didn't make a mistake. It's all about Jesus. It's always all about Jesus. Not about you, not about me. 3, be a witness for Jesus. I think this is the hardest one of these 5 points. You don't have to have the gift of evangelism to witness for Christ. You have to have an obedient spirit, a humble spirit, and a willingness to do what he asks you to do. It says, let your forbearing spirit be known to all men, or let your gentle spirit, that's how it's actually translated most times in the New Testament, as gentle. What it's saying there is demonstrate the demeanor of Jesus, meek but not weak. There's a big, big difference about being gentle but not being a doormat. That was verse 5 in our text. In verse 9, what you have learned and received and seen in me, Paul saying, practice. Speaking about demonstrating the love of Christ. in your life and to one another and to people that God brings into your life. And this is a tall order, because not everybody that you have in your life is, some would say, worthy of your love, but that's not true. You don't feel like loving them. You feel anything but an attitude of love, because they irritate you, they rub you the wrong way, they do the wrong things, they say the wrong things. And yet, the scripture says, demonstrate the love of Christ. That's how we make it all about Jesus, is demonstrate his love. First Thessalonians 4, 10 and 11. For indeed you do practice it toward all the brethren, talking about the love of Christ, but we urge you to excel still more. In verse 11, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. It's talking about that gentleness and not worrying about somebody else, how God is using somebody else, how God is blessing somebody else. You know, the perfect example when my kids were growing up, and now I see it in my grandkids. Well, you gave her this, or you did this, as if I don't love the other one just as much or equally. It's not true. But see, that's the impression. It's just simply not true. Paul, on his Damascus Road experience, repeating what the Holy Spirit spoke through Ananias, Acts 22:15, and I missed this one, Catherine. For you will be a witness for him to all men of what you have seen and heard. Now, that word for witness in the New Testament is martus, where we get our English word martyr. And you don't have to physically die to be a martyr for Jesus. You have to die to self, though. You have to do what you don't feel like doing, say what you don't feel like saying at the prompting of Holy Spirit. That's what being a witness is all about, or being a testimony. And I was getting this song as I was preparing, and I was miss-singing. Do you ever miss-sing the lyrics of a song? Well, Rich doesn't, but I do. And I was singing the song, what's the name of it? Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. And I was singing, Lord, prepare me to be a testimony. But it actually means the same thing, because a sanctuary is a consecrated place. So if we're a consecrated place, if we're a dedicated place, it's a place where God is going to use us. And he will use us to be a witness. Sometimes without saying a word. Sometimes our greatest witness is what we don't say. And what we don't do. Because people are always watching our actions, and our speech need to demonstrate that we're a disciple, that we're a Christ follower. Number 4, faith in Jesus, from verse 6 to 7, where it says there, be anxious for nothing. And some would say, well, that's easy for you to say. You're not going through what I'm going through. Well, that may be true, but I'm going through my own stuff. Different than you, but equally challenging for me. And be anxious for nothing. Not means to have faith, to not allow fear, worry, or anxiety to dictate how I act or how I feel, how I demonstrate if I'm having a good day or a bad day. No, have faith in Jesus. Matthew 6, the whole passage for referral later is verses 25 to 34, but he's talking about not being anxious about food, clothing, the things we need in everyday life, money, job, God's provision. For your heavenly Father, verse 32, Matthew 6, 32, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. It doesn't escape his notice that that bill has to be paid or that new washing machine has to be acquired somehow, even when you don't have the money. And sometimes, and I did it this week, you know, I have a hard time paying $35 or $45 for a Christmas tree. I'd rather spend the money on a gift. So I've been doing what I always do, Craigslist, Facebook Marketplace, instead of asking the Lord, and I repented last night. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for not asking you. I mean, is this where you live? It's where I live. I have to be made aware of my actions. I'm not having faith in him that he's going to give me a Christmas tree. I'm trying to do it myself. And I probably could make it happen, but my experience is he does it a whole lot better when I allow him to do it. Faith in Jesus. You need to... I have a lot of scriptures here, but I want us to get out early today because it's a long day with the practice and our event tonight. So Matthew 6, 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. And 1 Peter 5, 7, cast all your care or anxiety on him because he cares for you. He's concerned with that which concerns you and I. And it talks about prayer with thanksgiving there in verse 6 of our text, which when we thank the Lord in advance, we're demonstrating faith. When we pray with thanksgiving. And the reference there would be Ephesians 6:18. And then in verse 7 in our text, when you pray with thanksgiving, you will get the peace of the Lord, which surpasses all understanding. And it will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In other words, the way I look at that, what that scripture is saying is, when we submit it to him, it's like a shield that is around us. And God, those things bounce off that shield because we're having faith. We've submitted it to the Lord, whether it's a live Christmas tree or a new car, doesn't matter what the need is. That you're always going to get the negative that says you can't do it, you can't afford it, you're not qualified. Well, that may be true even. However, you belong to him. And you need to submit your life to him and have faith in him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. And he will take care of it. Paraphrasing, obviously. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. So we need to let the God of the impossible do the impossible, those impossible things that we can't do anyway, and just trust him and watch how he will do it. Because it's all about Jesus. It always is, and it always will be. And finally, they are focused on Jesus, number 5, from verse 8. If there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things, it says. The essence of that is also in Hebrews 12:2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. And that word there, for fixing our eyes on Jesus, literally means looking away from all else and then putting your focus where it needs to be, on Christ. The other passage that illustrates this is John, the Gospel of John chapter 15, which is so rich, talking about abiding in the vine, abiding in Christ, abiding in his love, which will lead, perfect, and empower each one of us. Jesus, speaking here, says, John 15:4, abide in me. Verse 7, abide in my words. Verse 9, abide in my love. And verse 8 says, so you will prove that you are my disciples. You see, we can say anything, but it doesn't mean a thing if it doesn't match up with our actions. So we need to allow him to do that perfecting work in each of us, that transforming work of the Holy Spirit into the image of Christ, focusing on Christ, 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we, with all unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. There used to be a popular expression, and people used to use it as an excuse back in the 70s. And what it was they would say, God's not finished with me yet. In other words, that's like an excuse for what I just said or what I just did. Even though it's true, God's not finished with us. We're constantly moving, I hope we are at least, being transformed into the image of Christ. And there are various other scriptures there that speak to that, that it's all about Jesus. And he always was and always will be the center. That's not going to change. He's the center of the universe. He's the center of the world. And may our heart stay humble and our desire always be what's expressed in John 3:30. He must increase and I must decrease. And that's a tall order. That's a hard one, isn't it? Because we're very self-centered. And this transforming process changes us from glory to glory, as the scripture says. But it changes us more and more from being self-centered to being Christ-centered, to having Christ as the center in our life. And that's how we can be a witness. That's how we can have faith. That's how we can keep rejoicing, standing firm. All these things that we spoke about this morning can become a reality as we seek to humble ourselves and completely yield to the work of the Holy Spirit. Because, like it or not, the truth is it's all about Jesus. And that's why the world gets so riled up when you talk about Jesus. It's like you're insulting them, or it's like that's the worst thing you could possibly say. But God bless you as you press in, as you press forward, as you honor the Lord in your life, not just in the Christmas season, because it's definitely all about Jesus during Christmas, but every day of the year, every breath that you breathe should be dedicated to the Lord. So catch your breath this afternoon. Hope to see all of you.